I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Hey, welcome into this Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing about as well as you can. I know we're starting the new year probably not on our best foot, right? After Alabama suffered a devastating loss, 38-3 to Indiana. The Hoosiers getting the job done in the Rose Bowl. The first top seed, I guess, well, yes, definitely top seed, but the first top four team, right, to actually win their first game in the playoffs. We're going to talk about it. You guys know how we do, man. We're going to deep dive in this matchup. Now, in terms of tape, because I know you guys love when we break down film, I'm not sure if the tape is uploaded. I don't think it is. So I don't know if I have the tape today, but don't worry. I might bring up the TV copy for a few plays that I definitely want to dive into. And just know once that tape comes on, we're definitely going to dive into it. But I'm going to offer you all my thoughts. I went back and watched the game, or at least the TV copy as well. And there's a number of things to talk about. And we're going to discuss it. We're going to be honest. We're going to give you our football perspective here. And I know you guys have a lot that you guys want to get off y'all's chest as well. So feel free. We'll open the space to everybody. 205-342-9904. So make sure you guys are ready for that. I know sometimes it's hard to get on the phone lines, but I promise we're going to do our best to get everybody on here. Slade, planning on joining at 11:30. I have to check back in to make sure that he's still good to go. But regardless, we're definitely going to talk about this ugly loss that we had yesterday in the Rose Bowl against this Indiana team. And I'll just go ahead and say this, man, because I know there's going to be a lot to talk about, but I do want to start by saying this. First and foremost, man, because it does conclude the season. We know it's win or go home. We went home, and that was probably a long flight for those guys. I feel for them after that type of performance. But I just want to say, man, solid overall season, right? We just look at everything, like look at the whole picture. You're number two under Kalen DeBoer. You saw some progress, made a trip to the SEC championship game, did not perform well in that game. We know we had some guys banged up and went against a very hungry Georgia team who, unfortunately, they lost last night too in a close one. That was one hell of a game, by the way, Chase. Some of these playoff games have been really damn good, man. And we'll dive into some of those in a minute, but you make a trip to the SEC championship game, doesn't go our way, but still, that's progress. You earn a berth in the college football playoffs under year number two, right? Which is great news. You get a first-round win against an Oklahoma team on the road, and we all know what happened yesterday afternoon, and trust me, we'll talk about that. But just want to basically shout out to all the guys on this year's team, man. I thought it was a year full of some highs, some lows, some good, definitely some bad in there. But they're working, and they have a lot more work to do. Absolutely, there's a ways to go until we're quite there. I know Coach DeBoer defined it as a fine line from where we're at and where we're trying to be at. I think that line might be a little bit thicker than maybe he sees it. But I get it. You know, he's the coach, and you know he's in the media. He's gonna try to be positive. But that said, you can at least acknowledge that there's been growth in year two under Kalen DeBoer, and I can only imagine. This is going to provide fuel for not only him, that staff, but these players. You know, I've been in a situation where, you know, we lost, not like that. I know everybody's trying to throw around my senior year, which, again, I couldn't play, unfortunately. I tore my hamstring, but we lost to Clemson. I wouldn't say ours was that bad. I know some people are trying to say that. I don't think it was like that. But typically when you have an outcome like this, it stings, man, and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and hopefully that's the way these guys – take it. The guys that will be returning, we'll talk about this here in a minute as well. You got a number of guys that have exhausted their eligibility. They'll be moving on. Some will get an opportunity to play at the next level. Some, that was their last time ever putting on football pads and a helmet. And so before we dive into the breakdown, because again, we're going to be honest, and you guys know, I mean, sometimes it's not the prettiest thing. We talk about the truth, but I do want to start by saying, shout out to all the guys from this season. Again, still a solid season. Maybe didn't win that national championship. Maybe fell short of the SEC championship. But these guys should hold their head high. I thought, you know, they had some big moments this year. A lot of guys showed a lot of improvement. right? You know, from the linebacker group, I thought those guys showed so much improvement throughout the course of the year. Defensive line stepped up. Guys like Yanze Pierre really coming along. I mean, the secondary, they're one of the best groups in the country. A lot of lockdown coverage, forced a lot of turnovers. Like I said, there's a number of positives. And I also want to point those out because I know sometimes, especially moments like this, it's easy. Everybody starts piling up on all the negative, which don't get me wrong. You know us. We're very honest and we're going to be critical in a positive way. We're going to be critical in a respectful way because you need to have that type of criticism to grow. I believe in that. I think some people have gotten a little too soft and they try to avoid all criticism. I don't believe in that. But I do want to acknowledge some of the positives and give credit where credit is due because these dudes fought. They battled adversity, they battled injury, and they did some really good things. So shout out to the seniors, all the guys that are moving on. Best of luck to them. I hope they have, you know, phenomenal NFL careers or whatever careers, even if that's in business, whatever, because that's really what it's about, man. You come here and you come in as a young man and you leave a little more grown up, and I think these guys have been definitely put in some good positions, whether it was, you know, with Coach Saban initially, then with Coach DeBoer, who's a really great person, does a really good job with this group. So just wanted to start with that, Chase, because I feel like that was very, very, very much needed. I know we talked about it. If you guys listen to me and Gray on our post-game show, we definitely wanted to acknowledge that because there's a lot of emotional players after the game, and I can attest to it. I mean, I hate it for guys like Ty, who gets hurt, he couldn't finish, had to watch that. That's how I felt watching the Clemson game in 2018 when we lost. You know, I warmed up, but wasn't necessarily cleared to really go in the game, so I didn't play at all, and I had to watch. And it's not fun watching your team in a position like that and not being able to do much about it. And it's also not fun when reality sets in that, hey, that was my last time putting on a Crimson Tide jersey. So definitely feel for those guys. But, no, I mean, they've got a strong bond. They did a lot of good stuff in their careers here. And I think there's going to be a lot of success in the roads ahead for a lot of those players. So I wanted to throw that out there. Now that we got that out the way, Chase, we got to be honest here in a minute. And I'm gonna wait until we come back to really dive into the breakdown. But we're going to call it, like we say on here, we're going to call the spade a spade. And we're going to be completely thorough and honest with this breakdown. So y'all be ready. So if we got some people, listen, I gave you some positivity because I always want to do that. But if you guys can't take honesty with you know, some of this criticism, man, you might maybe turn it. It's not going to be bad at all. I'm just telling you guys a heads up. Like, I'm going to be completely honest. And we're going to assess everything, not just this game. We definitely will do that. But some of the things that I feel like led up to this point that we have been discussing on this show, not just this season, past couple years, a lot of things that remain to be the same, a lot of issues that have been glaring for quite some time, a lot of blinking lights like Coach Saban has once referred to them as. And I think people finally will start understanding some of those things that we've been talking about and we've been addressing. So make sure you guys are ready for that. And make sure you guys are ready to jump in on the conversation. How can you do that? Again, 205-342-9904. That is the number to the program. Again, I'm not the best when it comes to getting to the line sometimes when we get rolling and we got a lot of stuff going on. But I promise I'm going to try to open the floor as much as I can because I know you guys got a lot that you want to get off your chest, so you can do it that way. You always can come hang out with us on the live stream over on YouTube. It's completely free. We got a chat, a comment section where you guys legit can come hang out. You can type as much as you want. I'll read them and we can discuss them. You can interact with all the other folks in here that also want to get some stuff off their chest. So I urge you guys to check us out there. Or on Facebook, we also stream on the Facebook page on Tide 100.9 as well. And don't forget to follow us on X to stay up to date. I know the season's over, but that does not mean we're done. We've got plenty to talk about. We've got basketball season going on, but even with football, which is, you know, it's our bread and butter, right? We're going to talk about portal season, which starts today. The additions coming in, the guys that might be leaving. Hell, there might be some coaching changes. We don't know. But you got all that. You got draft coverage. You got all types of stuff. Spring ball is right around the corner. I'll be here before you know it. Should they change the calendar? We'll talk about that. Coach Saban had a point that he made when he was on the set, I think post-game. And maybe we'll discuss that a little bit later. But make sure you guys are staying up to date with us, because I promise, just because football season is done, we are not done on the Miller's Edge. We're just getting started. We're going to turn up the heat. And 2026 is going to be a really big year for us here on this platform and this show. So make sure you guys are ready for that. That said, Chase, let's do it. Let's go ahead and do our first time out. That way, when we come back, we dive into it. Again, Alabama falls short in the Rose Bowl, 38-3. The Hoosiers, a team who a lot of people had been talking about. Again, we gave them credit here on this platform. We said they're a good football team. They don't make many mistakes. They're going to make you earn it. You're going to have to force the issue. And I ultimately said, if we revert back to some of our ways that we had seen the latter half of this season, we would not be this very well-disciplined, well-coached, well-executing Indiana football team. And that's what happened. You know, I put out a tweet, and I'll end this segment on this. And I know some people were like, oh, man, you're just trying to make us feel better. It wasn't trying to make people feel better. It's just I think two things can be true, and I'll put it like this. Did we go out there and get our ass whooped? Did Indiana put belt to ass on us yesterday? Absolutely. There is no denying that. 38-3, they dominated us in every phase of the game. There's no denying that. However, Chase, two things can be true, and I think it is important to at least acknowledge this, and this is why I put this tweet out. It wasn't, you know, trying to get sympathy for our guys or our team or anything like that. No. But I do think people need to remember that you did just go out there and play the number one ranked team, right, in the country, a team that's unbeaten still, a team that beat an Ohio State team that had probably the most talented roster in the country. This team featured a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, a potential number one overall pick, a team that's statistically elite in almost every metric, offensively and defensively, all while putting that all together and coming back after almost a month off and playing probably one of their best games of the year. Again, I don't say that in a way of making excuses. I say that in a way of people need to at least understand, like, the recipe was there. You're going against the number one team who's really, really good, who plays a really good football game, and you've got an Alabama team who reverts back to some of their old, you know, bad habits, right? And that's the result you're going to get. I think anybody that knew, you know, both of these teams knew. If Alabama showed up and played one of those bad games that we had seen, and Indiana showed up and played a good game, it wasn't going to be good. So I guess and I also need to own up. Hey, I said Chris Fowler was tripping by saying they could run away with it. I thought even if they played good and we played bad, maybe a two-score game. But boy, was he right. They did run off with it. 38-3 was the final, and that will do it, concluding the 2025 season for this Alabama football team. Again, a lot of progress made in year two, but definitely a lot of work that needs to be done. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss this game and more. Get to you guys as well. 205-342-9904. All right, here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Try before you buy nothing. Make sure you guys check them out if you haven't already. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa. Foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, they'll fix it. Heart pain from that loss yesterday, I'm not sure the technology's there quite yet, but trust me, they will help you in any other way that they can. Make sure the Good Feet Store is the place that you check out if you haven't already. Walk-ins, welcome. Goodfeet.com for more information. You can throw them in your shoes and they get right to work. Clinically proven to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in just 4 short weeks. So if you haven't checked them out, make sure you guys do that. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
More equals more with Straight Talk. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Taxes and fees apply. The $25 plan requires a compatible unlocked device and a new line of service. Additional terms apply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation across the United States and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves. We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer. We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. All right, it's time. It's time for this breakdown, guys. We got to dive into it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Not much good at all. Definitely a good bit of bad and for sure some ugly. So let's talk about it. Indiana, Alabama, Rose Bowl action, bad weather, all that stuff. The weather actually ended up not being so bad. Fuel was still a little wet, but wasn't necessarily a factor in this game, but didn't even matter, man. 38-3 final score, Indiana getting the win over Alabama. How did they do it? Let's talk about it. I just said before we went to break, you had a really good team who played a really good game, extreme efficiency, super clean, schematically they were on point. They coached us, out-coached us. It seemed like they had an answer for everything we tried to do. Then on us, on the other hand, saw a return of some turnovers, You saw some questionable decisions made, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Not being able to push the football down the field, which if we can't push the football down the field, knowing this offense that can't run the football consistently, I mean, we're dead in the water. And then, unfortunately, the defense, man, who had been holding up for, and I'm going to have some patience with those guys, even though the way they played in this game yesterday was terrible. But I want to have a little bit of patience with them because for over a month, they've been asked over and over and over repeatedly to be put, they're put in tough situations, asked to hold up and hold teams to field goals, being put with bad field positions and all sorts of things. And finally, I think they just kind of caved in, man. And by the second half, I mean, Indiana was just having their way with us. And Chase, it was the craziest thing because I could not help but notice. I know there's all the talk about Kurt Cignetti, a Saban disciple, you know, his mannerisms, his approach, the words he uses around the program is so Saban-esque. And I get all that. But I just couldn't help but notice as I'm watching this game, Chase, and I'm not one of these people that, you know, are hard-headed and it's like, oh, it's Indiana. So they're a basketball school. No. Because I go off of what I see. And what I've seen is they're a good football team. And that's why I gave them a lot of credit going into this game. But I couldn't help but notice, Chase, the way they play football, running the football, physically, those backs hitting the hole, getting downhill, falling forward, offensive line, just getting good push, climbing to the second level, efficient in the passing game. They're not doing anything fancy defensively. Controlled aggression, they bring it at you. They're not even bringing a whole bunch of guys in simulated pressure. They disguise probably some of the best disguising I've seen, making it tough on quarterbacks to make those decisions. The way they play football, Chase, I'm like, damn, I feel like we need to switch the logo and the jerseys right now. I feel like I'm watching vintage Alabama watching that Indiana football team. Rushed for over 200 yards. I think Mendoza was 14 of 16. And literally, he had more touchdowns than he had incompletions. I mean, and this is a group of guys that, yes, they utilized some guys from the transfer portal. A lot of them, I think, came over from JMU. So they're not like these highly rated guys. I think I heard a stat. I don't even know if they had a guy over a 3-star on defense. I mean, they're physical. Like watching five, that five is not a big player, that DB that they have. Laying the wood, I think he fractured Ty's rib. Like, Chase, I just couldn't help. But I'm like, bro, they are playing like Alabama right now, and we're playing like I would think Indiana would play. Not off of what I had seen this year, but just off of traditionally when you think about Alabama. So it was kind of crazy to me. But let me just say this. We lost by 35. That was the biggest loss in postseason history for out of all time for Alabama. So that was very disappointing. And before I really start diving into this, let me preface by saying this. I'm not one of these people that, oh, we lost, so I'm just mad we lost, whatever. Number one, I'm not mad. I'm more disappointed. And here's why I use the word disappointed. I even said last week, man, or earlier in the week, sorry, I keep getting it mixed up because it's Friday. It feels like a Monday. I'm used to us normally playing on Saturday. I made the comment that I said, look, especially defensively, man, I want us to be aggressive. I want us to bring it, which we did, especially that first series, man. That's exactly what I was, you know, hoping for. But I said, you know what? Go out there and leave it on the line. Be aggressive. Go out there and do what you do. And if they beat you, shake their hand at the end of the game. The problem is, Chase, while we were aggressive and they definitely did beat us, I didn't envision it being like a beat down like that. Those are different things. One thing, if it's like you see Georgia and Ole Miss going back and forth at it. I mean, they're both teams being aggressive in that game, but they're both, I mean, it's like heavyweight matchup, you know, one hard hit, the next hard hit. They're going back and forth. Like, that's one thing. But what we saw yesterday was not what I was referring to. Anyway, let's carry on. But the point of what I was saying was it's never with me about, oh, we just lost. When I get disappointed like that, it's the manner in which we lose. And that, to me, is one of the red flags that I do have in this post-Saban era. And we'll dive into that a little bit later. And that's one thing I said. We got a great question from Adam a couple weeks ago here on the stream. And that was one of the things I said that is as good as a job as Coach DeBoer is doing right now. And there's a lot of positives and a lot of stuff that you definitely are excited about. The one glaring thing that I feel like comes up is when we lose – normally, they're not these, like, close losses. Like, we either are going to play a close game and get a win, or we're going to lose, and it's a bad loss, whether it's to the team or it's the way we lose. In the matter of which it feels like we're not necessarily prepared the best. There's not much life with the guys. mentally is just something off. So whether that's the Florida State game, the Vanderbilt game, hell, the Michigan game from last season in the bowl game. I mean, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's the only thing. It's like some of these losses that we do have. Again, I don't expect us to be perfect. Hell, I lost 6 games in 5 years, which is kind of crazy, but still. So I've lost games. I'm not perfect either. We weren't perfect. But outside of that one against Clemson, and again, that's one thing. We just didn't really see like this. That's what kind of concerns me. But we'll dive into that later. Let's stick to the script. So, Chase, there was 2 plays in this game that I felt really shifted the whole momentum, and it really just went downhill from these 2 moments. Number one, the failed 4th down. Guys, I told you guys against Auburn, and everybody probably thought I was being, you know, oh, you're just doing too much, whatever. But when we got gutsy, went for it on 4th down against Auburn, instead of taking those points, what did I come on my post-game show and say? What did I come out here and say? Listen, I get it. Everybody's doing the memes of the guy from South Park with his nads in the wheelbarrow, and everybody's bragging about, man, the committee's even talking about, man, that gutsy call. And I'm like, yeah, you know, the fact that it worked out, everybody's celebrating. But I'm like, dude, you don't take the points there, and then we end up losing that Iron Bowl game. Who knows what everybody would have been saying? But I can tell you, it wouldn't have been positive. And that's why I just, there's little things like that. I'm like, man, like, it's one thing to be aggressive, but you got to be smart with it, right? I'm not even like even the 4th down from yesterday. Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to argue with me, like, was it a bad decision? Was it not? That's fine. I don't think it was necessarily the worst decision. But in my mind, it's like there really was no reason to do that. It's early in the game, and we're in our own territory. I know it was like 3-0 at that point. But where we were at in terms of field position, that's like a guaranteed 3 points for the other team if you don't get it. And to me, it's just like it's an unnecessary risk. But again, that's the one thing. I think even more frustrating was the call that we ran. And then to make it even worse, Chase, we had like 3 chances to change it. Like, because we come out in it, I think there's like a timeout or whatever. I think they're reviewing something maybe. And then we fake the, like the running up to the ball, trying to get them to jump. And then we still decide to end up, I think, calling a timeout and then running that. And the play was the same play, at least the formation was from the start. That really had me scratching my head. And I get it. If they end up going for it and they get it, everybody's celebrating. But like I told you guys from the Auburn moment, if you do that and it doesn't go well, there's going to be a lot of questions. And that's exactly what happened. There was that moment and then the other one, the fumble. Ty Simpson, he's scrambling. I get it. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He's trying to put the team on his back. He's trying to show that physicality. That's how you, you know, as a quarterback, you can earn the respect of the guys in the locker room. But here's the thing, Chase. You have to learn when to do those things. Listen, you got the 1st down. There's no need to be trying to lower your shoulder and fight for more than that. There's just no need. There's absolutely no need. And what happens? You end up fumbling the football, giving it back to them. And not only that, you break a rib. Those are the things that, and listen, he's a first-year starter. Those are things that you learn with more experience. And I get it, as a quarterback, it's tough. I mean, guys like Tua, you know, they're the same way. Like, they want to compete. Like, but as a quarterback, you have to know and understand there's a fine line between fighting and competing and trying to get extra and playing smart football. That's not smart football. And you have to learn from that. Whether it's him, if he comes back, we'll talk about that a little bit later, or it's the next man up. We have to be better in those areas, because that ultimately, I think that, like, seeing the momentum and the energy just shift after that, it felt like after those 2 moments, it was, I'm not going to say it was a done game, but damn sure almost felt like it. But let's just dive into some of these X and O's real quick. But those really, to me, I think were some of the most pivotal pieces of this game. In terms of what went down, we got out physical. I thought we got out coached. And really, they just, overall, I mean, that was probably one of the most efficient executions, best efforts, best game plan. I mean, like, honestly, these guys, and I'm not trying to sit here, I know people are frustrated with Kirk Herbstreit and those guys. I'm not trying to sit here and glaze them. But you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, they line up, they get movement, the running backs hit the hole hard. I mean, they're breaking through tackles. And that, but what's crazy, guys, go back and watch. It's not just the offensive line getting good initial push. It's that they get push. They climb to the second level. They finish their blocks. You've got receivers blocking downfield, being physical. Go back and watch the receiver blocking by those guys. The mentality that that football team has is one that they play to one standard, one heartbeat. Everybody's trying to, you know, help the guy next to them. You don't see selfishness out of that team, and it all starts with Mendoza, right? But their ability just to run the football, they end up rushing for 200 and I think 15 yards on this man. I mean, Black had 99 yards, 15 carries, 99 yards. Hemby, 18 carries, 89 yards. Both guys had a touchdown apiece. I talked to one of my good friends, my high school teammate, man, who's their running backs coach before the game. And I hadn't talked to him afterwards, but I'd love to get him on the show and get him to talk to us kind of about their, just kind of hold their whole process and kind of what they're doing over there. But anyway, Mendoza, I mean, he was about as efficient as you can ask, man. I think he was on pressures. I think he literally completed every single pass on pressure and had all three touchdowns came off of pressure. That's the one thing that you do risk when you're being aggressive. I don't mind being aggressive, but the thing was, if you watch them, man, like the way they're aggressive, they're doing simulated stuff where they're getting the looks and the schemes that they want up front, and they're getting free hitters on the quarterback without having to drop so many guys. Without bringing so many guys. Sometimes we're running cover zero blitzes, and what do? They capitalize on it. They recognize it, touchdown, boom. They see that we're playing in off coverage or playing soft. What do? They're running RPO game, and they're just hitting the perimeter quick, picking up easy yardage. When I say like out coach and out scheme, that's what I'm referring to. You know what I mean? Like, you have to try to mix it up a little bit more. You have to understand, like, okay, they're countering. It's almost like a boxer that has a counter for everything. That's what I felt like I was watching. No matter what we threw at them, they had an answer. And they did not flinch. I mean, it just was like, all right, you're doing this. All right, cool, we'll do this. I mean, just really impressive by their guys. But overall, I just thought offensively on their part, I mean, that was about as efficient as it gets. 215 yards on the ground. The quarterback's 14 and 16. I mean, and by the second half, they just were having their way with us. And it almost was like, it didn't even matter. And I was saying earlier, I mean, if you watch what they do, inside zone, duo, split zone, those are really about the only three runs that you saw. I think they ran maybe one or two like pin and pull type plays. Other than that, that's what they ran. Quarterback draw, it's not fancy. What they do is not fancy. But what they do well is they line up, they execute, they block well, they finish blocks, they hit the hole hard. And they just keep chipping at it. They set themselves up, try to get in third and short. Mendoza made smart plays with his legs when they needed it. And he throws a very catchable ball. He's always going to be, you know, putting his guys in good positions. And those guys are good playmakers. Cooper, the other guy is a little bit more of a speedster guy. Let me pull up the thing. I can't forget it. I can't remember his name right now, the other receiver. But Becker had a nice place to ride. We all know about him. I mean, and these guys, I don't even know what they're rated coming out of high school, but damn good football players. But again, I'm going to have some patience with the defense only because I do know, I mean, you've asked them for over a month now to keep stepping up. I think they kind of just finally gave, but it was disappointing if I'm being completely honest with you. It almost looked like, and I'm not going to accuse them of quitting, but it definitely looked like we kind of just rolled over in the second half. I hate to put it like that. We didn't fit gaps well. We reverted back to a lot of our bad habits. Was it because we were out in California? Were there distractions? I don't know. Is Indiana just that much better than us? I would not say that. I'm definitely very complimentary of them because they are a damn good football team. But in terms of like talent, we have a more talented roster than them. But they figured out their recipe and what works. And what that is playing extremely efficient football, non-selfish football, a physical brand of football, a controlled, aggressive brand of football, and it works. When you can run the ball like that, it sets everything up. And I think, and we'll talk about this in a minute. That's why we always harp on these things. Like, being one-dimensional does not work. It doesn't. It only gets you till it gets you. And I told you guys this over a month ago. You know, people kept celebrating these wins we kept getting, and then they would try to make it seem like me or other people that give honest breakdowns or being negative. I'm like, nobody's being negative. If you know how the game of football works, you know it. I kept saying, it's only a matter of time till it catches up to you. These defenses start figuring you out. They did a good job today playing, you know, too high shell, taking away deep parts of the field. Try to get Ryan Williams involved a little bit more. But again, I mean, it's just, and it's interesting. I was talking to Gray too. It's like, man, like, you would think with all the weapons that we have at receiver, I mean, like somebody's got to be getting open. If we're getting man coverage, those guys should be able to beat these guys at man. Like, even in zone, we should be able to pick apart some zones. We got two good athletes. Why can't we do that? I mean, that's what Indiana did. We started being aggressive. Oh, we're in man coverage. All right, boom. They trust their guys to win. Why aren't we able to do that? You know what I mean? And I think it stems from a number of issues that we've been talking about, and we'll talk about it. So that's really the moral of the story, Chase. I think it boils down to a really good football team who's extremely efficient, does a lot of good things right. They don't beat themselves. And if you go out there, like I said, if we went out there and we reverted back to what we were doing, our bad habits, we weren't going to win that game. And so I think Coach Saban tried to warn a lot of people when he sat on that set. He was talking about his golf buddies. And I don't know why. I think some Alabama fans just saw the Indiana logo and they're arguing with people online. I'm like, dude, stop doing that. Like, stop underestimating these guys. You got to learn, like, yes, we're Alabama. And it means something. But at the same time, and there's other teams that are good football teams. You got to respect all these opponents. This is not the same. Like, just like Vanderbilt. I know they didn't do great in their bowl game, but still. We're in a different age now, man. There's a lot of good teams. And don't – these stars, man, these stars – the star system, you can throw that out the window, man. Star system, I don't – it just doesn't mean the same anymore. The transfer portal and all this other stuff is not the same. So, unfortunate way to end our season. But, listen, you know, there's definitely some growth and some positives from this second year under Kalen DeBoer. We'll have to see, you know, what they do with it, how they respond to it. Looking at the schedule for next year, it's not going to be any easier. And we got a lot of stuff we need to figure out. I'm going to dive into it in a minute. We've got to figure out our running game. We'll talk about that. Our offensive line play, right? While they're actually pretty decent in pass pro, if you actually really watch it, they're not bad. They're actually decent. Still, all that has to be cleaned up. Too many miscommunications. Too many, like that one with that free runner with Thomas to that pick, right? Whether it's on tie to get the protection right, or like there's just too many instances with those. These other really good teams, you don't see it happening so much. Why do we have such a hard time with that? That needs to get cleaned up, right? Our backs. Why can't we hit the holes like that? What, those guys that Indiana has, again, who knows what they're ready to come out of high school? Doesn't even matter. Go watch how they play. They're not even the biggest guys. Those guys run hard. They run physical, great vision. Why can't we reproduce that here at the University of Alabama with the amount of talent that we have available to us? There needs to be answers defensively. It's much better as if we had gotten. Why is there still times where it looks like we're laying down, we're not physical enough, we're missing tackles, right? I mean, like, yeah, to me, that's a mindset, that's a mentality, man. And I hate to say it like this, but I'm just being completely honest. Like, you watch Georgia teams, Ole Miss teams, like, you see how they practice and some of these things that they do. I mean, like, it's very much reminiscent of the stuff that we used to do. And you can feel that energy watching those guys, man. I'm not saying they're perfect either, but sometimes I just feel like, man, we've got more, right? Just like Gray was saying on our postgame show, it just feels like there's more. We can get more out of these guys. That we've got too much talent, too many resources at our expense to not be doing that. Cignetti's doing this with an Indiana program, guys. They were terrible 2 years ago. And he comes over, brings some folks from James Madison, centers from like Notre Dame. I don't know about the other guys. And look at how they're playing right now. They're like one of the, if not the best football team in the country. That comes from really good coaching. That comes from great discipline and a high level of execution. You know, the Jimmys and Joes are a huge piece, but if you don't have people putting them in the best positions or demanding it out of them, you're going to be a step behind. I think we witnessed that yesterday in the game against Indiana. All right, I'm going to be quiet now. I know I've talked plenty. I know you guys got plenty of thoughts. We're going to catch back up. So we're going to hit a timeout. We come back. We got folks on the phone line. We'll go to you guys. We'll respond to the chat. We'll talk about it and more. We'll let you guys vent. Again, it is a new year, so we're going to turn the page here in a little bit, but we got to break this down and we're going to move forward, man, because there's going to be a lot of stuff coming up. Again, transfer portal kicks off today. It's already madness. And trust me, it's going to be crazy. You got teams in the playoffs still. They're going to be having to worry about guys being poached, tampered with, hitting the portal. I mean, it's about to be a circus. So buckle up, guys. College football is about to get wild. But don't worry, we got you covered on all of it. So make sure you guys are staying up to date right here with us on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art sport experts. Quick timeout. We keep on rolling when we get back. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more, find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. I just asked this question to our folks over on the streams, and I just wanted to, I'll pose it real quick for radio, because I'm genuinely curious. I'm not trying to like stir some pot or anything, but I know there's the whole conversation when, you know, Damian tweeted like, and y'all wanted me to apologize, and everybody's got their pitchforks back out and all that stuff. But I just was curious. I'm like, how does, you know, some of his criticism differ from Mike's, what we're seeing now from like the whole fan base. And all I was saying was, I just feel like sometimes it feels like a little hypocritical just sometimes, because I'll see some folks going on here on Twitter just, I mean, setting the team on fire. Then with him, I do agree. He definitely, his delivery, or he went too far with some of the things he said. But also, I do think he was just being a little critical, which is part of his job. And then I also agree with somebody said in the chat too, that I think he should have gave Alabama more credit after the Oklahoma game. You know what I mean? Like, to me, he should have done that. And then last thing I'll say is I think the whole like tweet from yesterday, people are making it seem like he's dancing on the school. It's not him dunking or dancing on the school. I think it's more so trying to dunk or dance on all the fans that attacked him for his comments. I mean, you know, that's all. But anyway, like I said, I'm not trying to insert myself in it. I don't consider myself one of those former people at all. I try to be honest, but I'm also very fair. I try to do it in a respectful way. I'm very mindful of my delivery. I take the Roman approach. So hopefully people acknowledge that, because I do, and I did respond to another tweet, because I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like if it's not negative, people don't pay any attention to it. I mean, because I feel like, I'll be honest, like, you know, Roman was like the, you know, key feature in that article when they interviewed him, and they're talking about, oh, like, if only more people did it like Roman. I'm like, you got me sitting right here. I cover the team. I get it. I'm not doing it on the national level, but I'm like, I sit here and cover the team, and I'm very fair, very honest, but very respectful, and I've been doing this. And I have Roman on my show, and literally what Roman was talking about in the article is Ben come on here and said it. No one picked it up. Why? You don't pay attention to it because it's not negative. So I hate to say it, but people not acknowledging the people doing it the right way probably influences people to do stuff more like Damian, because they feel like they might have to get those clicks. Luckily, I could care less about, you know, getting clicks or doing this. So it doesn't matter with me, but I'm like, maybe try to give some other guys doing it a little bit more recognition, right? And stop just overlooking everybody, because if it's not negative or they're not sitting on the four-letter network. Just my thoughts, though. 205-342-9904. Let's go to the phone lines. We got George from Macon up first. George, welcome in. Going once, twice. I think he might have dropped. All right, we'll go to the next one. We got Brandon from D.C. Brandon, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how's it going, man? Happy New Year.
What's up, Brandon? Hey, Happy New Year, man. What's going on?
Hey, doing well, man. So I played ball at Clemson, but I am an Alabama fan.
Oh, hell, man. Hold on. What years, man? Brandon, what years, man?
So I was there from 07 to 2010, and then I transferred out my final year to Illinois, man. So I was there with Coach Sweeney when he ended up making the switch to head coach. He was my receivers coach. I actually went to Hoover High School, man. So that's where my love for Alabama came from. So it's so funny because I was being recruited by the previous staff, and then Saban came in, and he made a switch. So I didn't even look at going to Alabama.
Man, hold on. I had to make sure, Brandon. I'm like, hold on. I might have to hang up this damn phone. This dude's talking to play that Clemson. I'm like, he better not been playing when I played them jokers, man. They gave me two losses in the national championship game. I'm like, man, I got beef with you guys. But you know what, man?
Hey, man.
You were there before
the
that.
The hate I received. Because, I always pull for Clemson. But it was always tough, man, because I always rooted for Alabama. So whenever they played, people were like, who are you rooting for? I'm like, hey, man, I'm always pulling for Clemson to win, but I got to pull for Alabama. I'm truly an Alabama fan through and through, man. It's wild. So I didn't get satisfaction out of y'all getting whooped because, I love the team, but I was so happy for Coach Sweeney, man. So it was bittersweet.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. You said you played receiver. What position did you play?
So I played receiver, man. I started in 2010 and then got beat out by Newt. DeAndre.
Oh, Newt Hopkins. He's from my neck of the woods.
Yeah, Newt was a freshman, man. Yeah, bro. Yeah, he went to high school right over there near Clemson. And he was one of the best people, man, and one of the best receivers you'll ever see in person. Just great. The hands. When you talk about hands, hey, man, best hands I've ever been around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a dog,
yeah,
man.
Bro.
He's still doing it, too.
He was, man. Oh, yeah. Look, he was a dog, and then Taz was a freshman at that point. So he was a redshirt freshman. I played – Kyle Parker was starting. So, yeah, I played with Spiller. We had some guys on the team, man. It was just – it took a while to get over that hump, and then Coach Sweeney came in with a different mindset and changed it. Really pretty much similar to what Coach Saban did. It was just a mentality thing. So that leads me into the conversation, because what I'm seeing from the team, this is going to sound crazy, man. I don't think it's a matter of them trying hard. I don't think it's a matter of them wanting to do well. I almost feel like they're so focused on the results, which Coach Saban always preached against. That's something Coach Sweeney always preached against. Focus on the process. The outcomes are going to be the outcomes, but when you focus on the finer things, which Indiana did, you saw those guys, man, they were up by 30. The tone of the team didn't change. You looked over there, nobody was celebrating. They were looking at the iPad saying, hey, what do I got to do better on this next play? You're just seeing, you see the focus. And so when you look at Alabama, man, some people will call it front running. I don't think it's front running. I think it's relief syndrome. right? So when they do well as expected, it's a relief. When pressure's onset and you look at the coach, you can see the pressure that's happening because he wants to do well, man. And so when you saw Saban, it was always focusing on when the team was getting a little lax, that's when he had to pick it up. When the team was feeling a little pressure, that's when you saw him actually stay even keel. So one thing that I would really highly recommend for this is crazy. I think that if you listen to Indiana, even the Mendoza, he met with a sports psychologist, right? He was like, hey, man, I don't want to put pressure on myself. I am one of 11 on the team. I need to do my job. And so he had to meet with his sports therapist before the game to remind himself of that. The Indiana team all meet with a sports therapist, and I think Alabama has one. But the team really just needs to start focusing it on how do I do the best job I can and not focusing on the results. If the results are what are driving them to start listening to pundits to really to almost enforce the need to win, right? So, hey, they're going against us. They hate us. It's us against the world. That mentality only holds true for a certain period of time, man. Ultimately, you have to be able to focus in on knowing that the process and doing your job and catching the ball. Ryan Williams is a testament to that. Look, spotlight, he did well that game. He was catching the ball with his hands. He took a big hit going across the middle, got right back up, right? And so he has that mentality. When you listen to him, the pressure was getting to him, right? He had the expectations. He's on the cover of the NCAA game. He's feeling it. And so ultimately, Ryan had to remember who he was, saying, hey, the hard work I put in, my focus to the attention to the detail, not worrying about all the exposure, that's what got me there, my hard work. And so when the other players start finding that and really looking internally and seeing that it's really focused based on the process and less on the results, you'll start seeing a change in the team dynamic. And I think that from the running perspective, that's a prime example, right? We knew that we could not run the ball. And our coaches, instead of saying, how do we fix it? They were like, hey, we've been trying to fix it. It's not working, so we got to go away from it. They've got to get a different running backs coach. I'm not for a call for coach to get fired. Not because he's not. Gillespie's a good coach. They need a new voice. You need a new O-line coach. You need a new voice because what the guys have been hearing hasn't been working for the past 2 years. Milroe kind of cast almost like a net over it to where nobody really – it's like a shadow. Milroe's ability as a natural athlete made the running game look better last year. The running game was actually not great. It wasn't great, right? We didn't have a 1,000-yard back. So they really got to start looking introspectively. I would even try to reach out to Coach Gruden to come in and just do an assessment. Coach Pruitt was actually my defense coordinator in high school, man, so I love Coach Pruitt. They need to bring him in as a defensive analyst, not to come in and try to redo something. Look, Kane Womack is doing a fantastic job. It's just hearing a different voice and getting a different perspective. And Pruitt could actually be useful on the offensive side because he knows these defensive schemes in and out, and he would know how to help them and give them some insights into certain things they haven't been considering. So it's all the way around. All the coaches have to do something, man, but it's the pressure, right? And that you can see the coaches, they feel the pressure. And I honestly feel like we had lost that Oklahoma game. I think Coach DeBoer may have really taken a close look at that Michigan job, not because he was scared of the challenge. I think it was just the overall pressure of the job and just trying to fill in the shoes of Nick Saban, his family and all of them, man, they're like, we just need a fresh start, right? And there would have been less drama around that. He would just have this calm sense. He's in the Midwest. Football is, you know, it's still king, but it's just different, man. Alabama is different. So high school all the way down is just different, man. It's a serious business. And so this is something of a shock to his entire staff. And I think Womack is the only one that realizes it because, you know, he grew up with it. His dad was a defense coordinator in the SEC. So he knows how it is. And you saw the defense respond, right? So the defense did well. But, yeah, man, I know that, again, I respect you. I like your tone, right? So Damian is one of those people, like, I play with guys like this, man. It's how you say it, right? Yeah. Like, you know, it's a little, you know how some guys, man, they just sound like they're hating on the dudes, and you play with them, you know how it is, and you're going in there. Damian was a great running back within itself. But if he's critiquing the team, people are listening, and it's how you say it, right? You do a great job of that. You're fair. So if they're doing a crap job, you have relationships. You know, you got to be a little bit more cognizant of that. You can't just say things a certain way, right? Absolutely. So if you, again, Christian, keep up your mentality because if you do things the right way, guess what happens? Eventually things will work in your favor the way they're supposed to. If you do things the expedited way, guess what happens? You end up like the Alabama team. You start focusing on the results, and you change the behaviors and habits that got you to the point where you're at right now. Those people don't use them as a beacon to where you're changing what you do. You do what you do because that's what's gotten you to the point where you're at, because those are God-given abilities that you have. You have an ability to speak. You play the game. You have the insights. Roman is a prime example of that. He's done things the right way. He may say certain things I don't agree with, but it's how he says it that really gives people saying, like, hey, he has credibility because he's been in the building, but he's also getting credibility from the fans because they don't feel like he's just kind of, you know, crapping on the team. So Damian has become a little bit of a shock jock, and how he's just all of a sudden just piled on. That tells me right there, it's like, bro, those same people that you're peeing on, remember, at a certain point, even if you reach certain levels, you're not going to be able to go back and mend some of those relationships. So Alabama, he was built by Alabama. So when you turn your back on an organization that helped build you and you're crapping on the fans and it seems like you're having this contentious relationship, you're in the future, you're going to need these relationships. People don't forget how you treated people on the way up. So you keep that mindset that you have, because when you start changing who you are and you start being something of, to be honest with you, it was almost like he's just being a shock jock. You lose credibility with people, right? You get Danny Cannell, right? Danny Cannell is a prime example of someone that just says outrageous things. He's a Florida State fan through and through. He will never crap on Florida State, but he'll crap on everybody else. So he's doing his whole shock jock thing, but he lost a lot of credibility. When people hear Danny Cannell talk, they're like, oh, he's just full of it. He hates the SEC. He's getting those clicks and views, but overall his credibility is shot. I'd rather have a clear state of mind knowing I'm standing behind my principles. You're speaking well. You're doing the things that you have. You and your father do a fantastic job. When you all get on the same page, you all just have great chemistry. And so that is going to carry itself well beyond what you're seeing from some of these people that just talk the talk, right? Stephen A. Smith is a prime example. Like, he don't know what he's talking about half the time. He's just passionate. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know ball.
I appreciate it. Listen, I had to give you a little round of applause celebration on the sound effect. I don't even do that. I had to pull it up while you talked. I'm like, this brother's spitting. And I'm like, everybody in the chat on YouTube's like asking for Instagram handle, X handles. They're like, bro, who is this brother talking right now? He's spitting fire. Matter of fact, we got to hit this top down break. I hate to do this while you're running.
No, it's all good, Christian.
Do me a favor. No, and I'm dead serious. Shoot me a message on Instagram or something, man. Hey, I want to start getting you on the show. I don't know what your schedule is, but I want to start getting you on here. Maybe like, you can either my personal one or the Miller's Edge, either one.
Okay, I'll shoot you a message, bro. We got to chop it up some more, but I appreciate the opportunity, man. Keep up doing what you're doing. It's going to work this stuff out. Don't change who you are, Christian. Your dad is going to tell you that. I know he's not a Bama man, but he's a great man. So just do what you're doing, bro. Let God lead you, and don't change who you are, because that's what's gotten you to this point, man. I'm so proud of you. Keep it up. Keep grinding, and knowing it's going to work itself out, bro.
Yes, sir. Hey, Gabe, big blessings to you, man. Happy New Year. I appreciate it. Great meeting you, Brandon. Seriously, I'm serious, man. Shoot me a message, please, so I can get connected with you. And I know our listeners, man, they want to start keeping up with you as well. And we'll start getting you on the show, brother. We got to start chopping up some ball, man. Really good stuff.
Hey, sounds good, bro. You take care of yourself. I'll shoot you that message.
Yes, sir. It sounds good, man. You too, bro. Good deal. All right, we got to hit the top hour break, man. We went over on top of being over because my guy Brandon was spitting some heat, man. Chase, that was a blessing to have him calling the show, man. We just got us a new contact, man. I know he's a Clemson guy, but like I said, man, we're going to let all that junk slide because he knows what he's talking about. We'll break down what he was talking about and more. Keep talking with you guys and this game when we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Don't go anywhere. We still got a whole another hour on radio, and trust me, we're going to stay after radio and talk about even more on the stream right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Saturday, we are also doing a double jackpot up to $5,000. What they do that is? Bama Entertainment Holiday Extravaganza. Take extra 45 on 2059. Sponsored by Red.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation across
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Fire up the grill this summer with certified Angus beef, USDA choice grinds, only at Tuscaloosa's locally owned and operated supermarket, Piggly Wiggly, from fresh ground beef to ground chuck to the juicy certified Angus beef hamburger patties. You'll taste the difference in every bite. Don't forget the rest of the grill lineup, fresh, never frozen chicken, quality pork cut fresh daily at Piggly Wiggly. Our skilled butchers cut and package meat in store every single day because fresh matters. Look for that certified Angus beef logo. It's your sign. You're getting the best. Only the best make the cut. Just 1 in 5 Angus cattle qualify for the certified Angus beef logo. It's not just Angus, it's certified Angus. Fresh food, fair prices, down home, down the street. Piggly Wiggly in West Alabama. 5 locations to serve you.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with periods of rain this afternoon and tonight. The high today 61. The low tonight 52. Tomorrow, showers ending during the morning. Some clearing possible by afternoon, the high 61. And Sunday, a sunny day, the high 56. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 56 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. I keep thinking it's a Monday, Chase. The schedule's all over the place. New Year's, the game yesterday. And how about this, Chase? I'm at the point, man, like, it's just been such a whirlwind with the holidays and now this. We haven't even really said this. Happy New Year to everybody. Matter of fact, our last show we did was New Year's Eve, right? Was it New Year's Eve? Yeah. New Year's Eve was our last show. We were rushing out the show. I didn't even get to say, I hope everybody has a Happy New Year, all that stuff. I apologize. Happy New Year to everybody. I know, you know, we're starting off on an interesting note, but it is what it is, man. We're going to keep on rolling, and we're going to keep on keeping you guys up to date with everything. And, man, I just want to say, as we go into this new year, I'm excited about what we got planned here on the show. I got a lot of stuff I want to continue to work with. I know we're growing constantly, and I'm super excited. So I just want to tell you guys, seriously, thank you, because I didn't even get to say this last time. Thank you all for a very exciting 2025. Definitely a little bit of a roller coaster for me personally, man. I mean, just being completely transparent with you guys, it's been a long year, but I'm really optimistic. 2026, man, both professionally, personally, all these things are going to be solid. Not just for me, not just for us here on the Miller's Edge, but hopefully for you guys. And we're in this thing together, man. So I just want to tell you guys, thank y'all for all the support that you guys give us, because without you guys, it's not possible, seriously. And you know, this is something that, you know, I started doing just a couple years ago, got done playing, and didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. I mean, I've always been, you know, into investing in finance, you know, financial stuff like that, but stumbled across broadcast and radio, and this is coming from a person who used to hate public speaking, still not a big fan of it, but used to hate doing this kind of stuff. And now, man, I love it. I love, you know, being able to come on here every day, talk football with you guys, help, you know, teach the game of football. I'm passionate about that, helping people really understand what it's about. And I couldn't do that without you guys. I just wanted to tell you guys thank you so much, because I didn't really get to express that the way I wanted to before the year concluded. So that said, we're recapping the Rose Bowl. Big shout out, speaking of support, man, seriously, big shout out to Adam with a $50 super chat. I got to show him love on the radio side of things too. Adam always is in here supporting. And again, just like everybody else, we're thankful whether you support financially or just listen. But seriously, especially Adam, man, he's so generous. Seriously, thank you, Adam. He says, as someone who played at the highest level, what stood out to you on film that explains what happened on the field? Things a typical fan like me wouldn't notice or fully appreciate. I mean, that honestly is a really good question. Watching the game, outside of just the basics, like, oh man, like they executed well, or man, we didn't do this. I would say that the flow of the game, to me, Adam, is a couple of things. Our inability, let's start with the offense, our inability to run the football. It continued to be a problem down the stretch of the season. Against Oklahoma, we found ways to hit those explosive plays. And what did I say? Hey, we have to keep having those things return, right? Like, if you're not going to have the ability to consistently run the ball, I'm not saying that we can't run it at all, but we don't do it consistently. That's just a fact. Like, no one can deny that. If you're not going to have that, you've got to be elite in another area. We hadn't been elite in the passing game in a while, and that was what was keeping us afloat. That's what we were able to really lean on earlier on in the year when we didn't really have that running game. But it dissipated, disappeared. And in this game, it showed that. What were they doing to help take that stuff away? They get great pressure on the quarterback. They do it with only really bringing four guys, sometimes five. When I get the tape, I promise I'm going to show you guys. But a lot of simulated pressure stuff. And what makes them so good, you know, it's one thing to be aggressive and to call blitzes, but it's another thing we always said as a defense. If we're going to pressure, you guys get it. You got to get home. You better get home. And when I say get home, that means you got to get to the quarterback. If not, we're just wasting bodies, and it's putting more stress on our secondary players. For example, that touchdown that Mendoza threw, it was cover zero. I mean, we brought everybody. There's no help on the back half. We're playing off, trying to have a little bit of a cushion, knowing we don't have help behind us. If we're going to blitz that aggressively, you got to get home. We didn't get home. Mendoza sat back there. He recognized it. Great route by his receiver. Touchdown. You know what I mean? There's those little things. Some other things that really stood out, I talked about earlier, just like their ability just to finish things, just fundamentally sound. I mean, like they don't mess up. I mean, in terms of like in their running game, again, I wish I had the tape to really show you that. But if you watch in the game yesterday, the way they ran the ball, man, I mean, they got great initial push. They're climbing to the second level. I didn't think we were getting off blocks great. I feel like guys on defense were kind of hanging on to blocks too long, not shedding, not trying to make a tackle. We reverted back to how we looked against Florida State, to where we're trying to just go fit guys, or we're trying to run around guys and expecting somebody else to make the play. Like, you can't play like that. You got to be aggressive. Everybody needs to have the mindset, I'm doing my job. But as I do my job, I'm expecting to make a play. You know what I mean? Because I had to learn that mentality, because there was a while that I used to think like, oh man, like with Coach Saban, and he'll jump you if you mess up. Like I'm focusing on doing my job. I know how important it is to be a trustworthy football player. But then the next step is doing your job is not enough. If you want to be a good football team, doing your job is one thing, but then you got to take it to the next level. You got to do your job and make plays. And we just weren't really seeing that with our guys on defense. And look at them. I think it's just really, man, their team, again, they don't make many mistakes. They don't. So you have to force them. We didn't do enough to force it. When I watched the tape, I mean, like at the first series defensively, like I thought it was great. I mean, the first play of the game, we brought, I think six, like we brought heat. It's a sack. Third snap, a sack. We had two sacks in the first series being aggressive. The problem is, Adam, they adjusted. They had to get their feet wet, like Mendoza was talking about. They had to get their feet in the ground, kind of get acclimated. And then when they adjusted to some of the pressure that we were bringing, I felt like we didn't then respond and try to, you know, better prepare ourselves, knowing that they're now expecting some of that pressure and they're doing things to counter it. That, when I made the comment about being out coaches, it's little things like that. I didn't feel like we fit things great. I saw guys kind of running around blocks instead of really attacking them. I saw guys not getting off of blocks defensively, offensively, missed assignments. Guys up front, you know, just not, I mean, like left guard, I saw a number of times, and credit to Indiana. Go back and watch. Here's something that fans might not have realized. Not only are they strong and stout on the line of scrimmage, but they run a lot of movement and twists. And I talked about that when we did the early preview. They do a lot of run stunts, and it's almost like their tackles will set picks for the other guys. That's hard for an offensive line, but you got to find ways to counter that. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to. But and we do a lot of that, too, and that's helped us out. But we didn't see as much success with that. But I promise when we pull up the tape, Adam, I'll break down everything. But just kind of off the top of my head, those are some of the little things. I feel like they took away a lot of the deep stuff. I mean, they were playing a lot of too high. I just felt like, again, I hate to be this guy, play calling offensively. I just don't think we're putting our guys in the best position. I do give credit that we finally tried to involve Ryan some with some of the quick passing game, just give him the football. I thought, look what it did to his confidence. I thought his confidence seemed to be coming back a little bit, but just weird though, man, because it's like last game we played, Lotsia Brooks was the guy. This game, how many targets did he have? I know he had one because he got lit up. How many total did he have? I don't even know how many targets that he had. He didn't have a catch. So, I mean, I'd imagine he only had, you know, a few targets. But Jeremy Bernard, 4 receptions, 60 yards. Ryan, 6 for 53. And Quavis in there a little bit. But the stat, really, I think this is – and this just says all you need to hear, Adam, and I'll just leave it, leave the official question on this. Ty Simpson, our leading rusher, 3 carries of set for 17 yards. Team total of 23 yards. Georgia, -3 yards, whatever point that was in the game. I can't remember what it finished at. You can't have an efficient offense like that. It's just not going to work, man. It's just not going to work. And that's kind of the moral of the story. But Adam, seriously, thank you guys. Or thank you so much, Adam, for all the support, man. Seriously, it's incredible. I'm not kidding. Please, just like Brandon, send us a message, man. If you like us, do some advertising stuff. I'd be happy to get you on that. And speaking of that, with a new year comes new opportunities. So we do have plenty of sponsorship opportunities opening up. If you guys are interested in that, we got a new thing that I basically redesigned it, where we're doing just like an all-in-one, lowest price ever, more exposure than ever. We're keeping it simple, and we're just going to sit there and just let you guys get to work. So if you guys are interested in that, please hit us up either on social media to get more information, or you guys can send us an email at the Miller's Edge. No, not the thing, the social media. The Miller's Edge at Outlook.com. So if you guys are interested in that, we got plenty of information for you guys to check that out. But let's do this, Chase. Let's hit a timeout to stay on schedule. When we come back, we got more phone calls to get to. We got plenty more to discuss. I might just pull up this TV copy. Hell, I don't care. I'm eager to show you guys this tape. I don't think I can wait till it gets uploaded. I'll probably do a little bit of that as well. And we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge Top 100.9, 1230.
Or make it a night out with friends. Just don't miss the hits and the heart live on stage. Tickets on sale now at PearlRiverResort.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Or call 800-498-6548. That's 800-498-6548. Tax Relief Advocates, real solutions for real people.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with periods of rain this afternoon and tonight. The high today 61, the low tonight 52. Tomorrow, showers ending during the morning. Some clearing possible by afternoon, the high 61. And Sunday, a sunny day, the high 56. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
This free free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art support experts. Let's keep on rolling, man. 205-342-9904. I got some stuff I'm going to pull up on the stream, so if you guys want to check it out, man, just come join us at the Miller's Edge. Again, all we do is ask you to hit that like button. If you guys are in here and you have it, man, just hit it real quick. Just tap it. Takes 2 seconds. And, yeah, that's all we ask. And if you enjoy the content, you like football, you like learning about football, you like breakdowns, like listening to the show, hit that subscribe button, man. That helps the show keep on going. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Up next, we got – hold on. Let me see the updated list because I know it's all over the place. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
Oh, man, it's going. Talk to me, Smitty. What do you think, man?
I'm not even upset. The thing is, what fans got to do is breathe and understand losing brings clarity. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if you keep winning, you say, hey, we keep winning. It's like the San Francisco 49ers thinking Jimmy Garoppolo was good because they won games. You remember that story years ago? Mm. But here's the thing. People could yell about Kalen DeBoer all they want. We talked about all these deficiencies, the run game, the offensive line, all this stuff, right? Drop pass in front of receivers. The defense wasn't always there. Still got 11 wins. Won a playoff game on the road and just lost to the better team. Got whooped by the better team. We seen preseason number one Texas, coached by a guy Alabama fans will be salivating over to get a start, not make the playoff. Clemson and Penn State, top five ranked, where they at? We saw Florida and LSU quit the first chance they got. The team didn't quit. The coach got them as far as they could. To me, that's a sign of a good coach. And I know people love that fourth down call. That going for a fourth down, it made me mad. It was a call. But at the same time, the coaching staff's been telling you for 2 years with their actions what they thought is running back room. Jalen Milroe got the most carries for a reason. That same staff yesterday saw 240-pound Daniel Hill get tackled in open space by a cornerback. And so we're going to be like, hey, hand him the ball on fourth down. He got tackled by a corner in open space. Hmm. And I think what part of people can blame coaching all they want. There's a talent issue as well. And a lot of these players, like I said, upperclassmen, weren't brought in by their staff. But I still thought they played the best they could. They just ran up on the best team in the country right now who's playing the best.
So hold on, Smitty. Hold on. Let me stop. I want to let's go. Let's take it one thing.
I ain't done yet, but give me a second. No, yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
All right. Well, hold on. Yeah, you know what? Let me just throw this in there because I do agree. I did put out the tweet that I did say. Listen, it is important to. And this is in line with what you're saying. It is important to acknowledge that yes, we ran into the best team in college football.
Should have been ranked, that bad though.
They were ranked accordingly, at least. And then I think we're seeing why they were ranked like that. We're seeing why they were able to beat Ohio State. And we're seeing why they were able to go on the road and beat that Oregon team that looked damn good against Texas Tech by 10 points on the road. And so, again, I kept throwing that out there. And there's some of our fans that were trying to say, oh, you're overhyping Indiana. They haven't played anybody there. And I'm like, listen, that kind of starts to fade when you see them do it against Oregon on the road and they do it against Ohio State in a championship game, Mike.
And at Iowa.
So, like, I'm like, you can pump the brakes a little bit on that argument. Now, I agree that, yes, battle-tested probably a little bit less than us, but they're still a good team. The only thing I'll give you a little pushback on is this. And I also agree that, yes, you're right. We are pretty spoiled to the fact that, you know, our season, like, to put in perspective, like if you said year two under Kalen DeBoer, you'd make it to the SEC championship game with the brutal schedule that we had, and a trip to the playoffs, win the first round, and lose to number one ranked team. I don't think anybody would necessarily have an issue with that. This is where I'm going to give you some pushback, and because I didn't get to really throw this in my tweet because there's only so many characters. The issue for me is the same issue that I've had with majority of the losses that we've seen under Kalen DeBoer. It's not just like close loss. When we lose, it's like, man, we looked bad. And it's typically not because that team is just that much better. Is Indiana a better football team than us? Absolutely. Do they have better players than us? I don't think so. I really don't. I think we have more talent than them. I just think they're a better team because of the way they're coached and the level that they execute. That said, that is my major concern. Again, I'm rocking with Coach DeBoer. I like Coach DeBoer a lot. I think he's a great coach, but I think he's got to find a way to continue to get himself out of his comfort zone, like we saw him from year one to year two, and have some difficult conversations to demand even more out of his players, out of his coaches. I'm sorry, but to lose the way we lost yesterday on that stage, whether Indiana is a better team or not, I hate to say it, man, this is not really acceptable to lose how we lost to Georgia, SEC championship. A lot of people were saying, oh, well, no one's acknowledging the injuries. And I said, I acknowledge it, but not nearly as much as everybody else, because they had guys beat up too. And we just, and it wasn't more so because we had people missing. To me, we lost that Georgia game because it looked like we weren't prepared as well as we should have been. Looking at the game yesterday, we got out-schemed and out-coached. They had good players and really high execution, but that comes from great coaching. We have to get more out of our players. I don't like when people make it seem like, oh, well, he doesn't have all his guys. Well, how many of all his damn guys do he necessarily need? I mean, it's not like Coach Saban was recruiting bad players. Like, I get it. It might not be the best fit for his scheme, and I agree. I am being patient on that part because I do want to see, hey, year three, he'll have a lot more of his players in here. We'll see how that looks.
Yeah.
But I don't like it when it seems like, and I'm not saying you're doing it, but I'm like, we can't make it seem like he's Cignetti that took over Indiana. The players that were left behind from Coach Saban were damn good football players. Might not have been necessarily the ones he recruited, but I mean, who wouldn't want a roster with all that talent?
I tell you the part. One thing is, right, the one thing with execution, and I tell people this, now, their running backs are better than ours. I don't care what anybody says. But, I don't care about your star rating. But I'm sorry.
You're talking about Indiana?
Yeah.
Them boys, listen, them boys play hard. They hit the hole. They got great vision. They're tough.
And run block and pass block. Because that first play that Ty had to spin around, and Jam Miller, everybody was playing off the line. I love watching the sky cast. Jam Miller, the guy was looking right at Jam, and Jam just went the other way. And I'm like, that's execution. And Jam's been on campus 5 years.
I know what you're talking about. No, wait. You can't immediately blame Jam, and I'll tell you why.
Somebody.
You don't know. No, listen. You also had a left tackle that didn't block anybody on the play. So number one.
Well, we're used to that.
Well, I'm just going to say. So listen, and I'm not sure exactly what protection they went there, but to me, there was a bust in protection. I don't think it's immediately on Jam, because typically, if you watch, backs and protection, normally if they're on the left side, they're going to normally scan across. They work across. You know what I'm saying? And normally if they want that guy, they'll flip the back. I think there was an issue with protection. It could have ended up being on him, but it's not always natural for the back. He normally goes across, typically, if you pay attention to it. Like I said, it might not have been on him. I hate that he's getting thrown to the mud without us having a guarantee. It could be him, but I also know there's a good chance that it probably wasn't his fault.
But I'll tell you this, though. One thing, right? I think people, they love to, well, Coach Cignetti, he's Saban-esque. Guys, they're sounding like the same Bama fans and media that spent 20-plus years trying to find the next coach, Bear Bryant. He is, because let's be real. If Greg Byrne said last year, hey, Alabama hired former James Madison coach Kurt Cignetti, everybody would have pitched a fit. Let's just be real. He would not have had the same expectations. He would have had crazy expectations, crazy pressure, and none of these Bama fans be hyped up that he brought a bunch of James Madison players with him. Let's just be real here. So we'll keep that all the way a buck with that one. But there ain't no more Nick Sabans. There's no more Coach Bryant, no more Urban Myers. Nick Saban wasn't Nick Saban in 2022 because the game changed. Let's be real. I remember you and your daddy on other podcasts were saying in 2021, 2022, 2023, saying, where the dogs at? Where the Rolando McClains? Where are all these people at? This been a problem for years. I remember at Tennessee, they got a 52. The players talking about they had anxiety, and Nick Saban was like, man, why they hype? Why they bouncing around? And I think you may have to just bring in some guys and pay the money for it. I think the clarity part is right. And I will pull my Damian Harris and get my victory lap on Ryan Grubb. Because I told you guys, because I watch a lot of West Coast NFL football, who live in here that the Seahawks fired this guy in 1 year for a reason in the NFL. And you're starting to see it, but everybody wanted to blame Nick Sheridan last year. And I always said, give him another year. And now people are mad at Ryan Grubb. The same folks who thought this guy was a magic elixir. They thought Ryan Grubb could turn water into wine, and now they're mad at him. I just think, like, with this team, they're going to have to go in this offseason, spend money on front seven, spend money on offensive line. I don't care about Cam. I know they're not getting Cam Cole, not paying the money, but I don't care about spending money on a bunch of receivers. You got to spend money in these trenches. And if I'm DeBoer, every coach, and I think Womack did a good job this year. I think he improved over the season. I think a lot of these other coaches, you got to have tough conversations. You may have to let people go or move them around. Hey, you had a tough conversation with Nick Sheridan, and I didn't think he was that bad. You got to have tough conversations with other people. And one thing I got to bring up also, I've been tough on Ty Simpson. I know he was running around for his life. Fernando Mendoza was getting his clock clean early on, too, but he didn't shake. And I say, sometimes you talk about that Ty fumble. There were times of Mendoza scrambled, but you know what he did, Christian? He went down. And I think sometimes when the plays, and there were times, because I think Ty does see ghosts. And because there were times he ran out of good pockets in the pressure. And that was a play I saw where Hershey did a good job with, and I saw the Skycast, where if he had stacked another tick, the receiver was coming open. But he was seeing ghost. And the crazy part is, if he didn't try to get the extra yard, and remember, before that fourth down, everybody was mad about, he slid, you know, on that third down. So sometimes, but I still thought they might have been better off punting that ball on that fourth down because it's still 3-0. But at the end of the day, I know your music on. I think, well, all the circumstances, they had a good year. But they got to start getting blown out. And, you know, and that's just my thing there. But, hey, Christian, you have a good one, man. Keep up the great work. You guys have a happy new year out there.
Smitty, you know what's crazy? Can you hear me all right? Is he still there? Chase, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Christian. I think Smitty had dropped.
Yeah, no, I feel terrible. You know what's crazy? The timing is crazy. So literally my computer just, like, reset itself. My computer literally turned off and turned back on, and everything still was going. And shout out to everybody. Literally, we got more people in the chat than were here before it went out. So I apologize for the tech. I don't know, man. That was a weird situation. But that said, we'll respond to what Smitty had to say and what else is going on in the chat and on the phone lines, because there's a lot right here on the Miller's Edge when we come back right here, Tide 100.9, 12:30.
Feeling and performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case in this. I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, let's keep on rolling. Let's see if George from Macon's back on with us. George, with us?
Yeah, how you doing there, Christian?
Hey, George. Hey, sorry, we got disconnected earlier. How's everything, man? It's been a while.
Oh, it has been a while. Everything's going pretty good except for the game. And a couple of points I wanted to make. Everybody, you know, you're not, but everybody's saying with the scheme, they're more fundamentally sound. Da 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 da. But my problem is the lack of effort. I mean, there is no excuse for having a lack of effort. And when I saw that game, all I saw was a lack of effort. I saw people missing their blocks, but even if they missed their blocks, they didn't have the hustle to try to, you know, block somebody else. And that's just something that I can't live with. I mean, you made a point, every time we lose, it's a horrible loss. But also, looks like we aren't trying. And I'm wondering, in practice, are we demanding effort? I mean, normally if you demand something enough, you know, people will come around. But in our practices, are we demanding them to show effort and also good fundamentals, which is something we didn't have any of? And also our offense, you know, they were quicker. So I've always been taught, if the other team's quicker, you run straight at them instead of having these slow-developing plays. I mean, I've been a fan. I've been watching Alabama play since 1959, 1960, and I don't recall ever seeing three games in one quarter in one year where it looked like we didn't know what we were doing. We were sleepwalking and a total lack of effort. And that's what I'm thinking. I mean, do we need some different assistant coaches that will demand effort? I mean, you can do a lot of things, but if some people don't care enough to show effort, you can't do anything with them. And I just want to know what your thoughts are when you go see practices.
Yeah. Listen, they practice hard. You know, they get after it. I think they do a lot of things right when it comes to that, just for whatever reason. When it comes down to game day, man, there's just been some instances, and I'm not saying a whole bunch, but like we've agreed on, it's these losses and some of the wins, you know, that were close calls, but especially these losses where it just feels as if we're not prepared the best that we could be. You know what I mean? I'm just being completely transparent. Like the SEC championship game, I really did not feel like we were prepared very well for that football game. And then I look at this game. I mean, Indiana is just such an impressive team when it comes to how they execute, their efficiency, but also the way they played, man. They play with a lot of intensity. They play with a lot of effort, a lot of physicality. And I don't understand why it seems like sometimes to get us to play like that is pulling teeth. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be like that. But, you know, as a former player, I mean, yeah, and as a former player, it could be a number of things. Look, we had a game like that against Clemson and the national championship game. And listen, from my honest opinion, there is a number of things. We had a lot of distractions out there when we flew out to California in 2018. I thought that was part of it. I thought part of it was complacency because we had run the table. We had, you know, we hadn't lost the game that year. I mean, we were the best team in college football without a doubt. And I think it felt like by the time we got to that Clemson game, everybody kind of felt that, all right, we just got to show up. We'll go out here and we're just going to go, you know, beat them just like we beat everybody up to that point. But that's not how it works. And I don't know if that's the same thing with this team. I feel like it's a little bit different because, I mean, totally different situations. But I don't know. I really don't have an answer for you, George, unfortunately. I wish I did. But I think it's a number of things from, you know, lack of execution, lack of just showing up prepared, lack of having that killer instinct. Even for some of the games that we've won, felt like it's very common. We come out the second half sluggish. Kind of like what Brandon said, that call we got earlier is a great call. It felt almost like we have a spirit of complacency that creeps in from time to time. And I think that's an issue that needs to be addressed.
Well, you know, another thing I want to ask you is, I remember several years ago, Roger Schultz was on a show. I can't remember whose it was, but he was talking about, you know, they couldn't run the ball because of their blocking schemes. They were drive blocking instead of angle blocking and double teaming. And once they started doing more of that, they started running the ball better. Well, are our blocking schemes, do we need to change that around a little bit? Or, you know, I will say this, it looks like a lot of our running game are slow developing plays where we try to go around end. And by the time you do that, the other team's quicker and it's a 2 or 3 yard loss. Like I forgot what it was. It was a fourth down a couple of games ago where, you know, it was a real critical play where you thought that maybe the tide was getting ready to turn. You listen to that pun. But we did a slow developing play and it was a 2 or 3 yard loss. I mean, is that something else that we need to look into? I know that our coaches are a lot smarter than I am, but these are things that I see that just I don't understand. We keep doing the same thing over again.
Yeah,
and I don't get it.
I'll say this, George. I think the bigger issue, especially with our running game, is more so not being consistent when it comes to getting great push on the line of scrimmage. Excuse me, climbing to the second level, finishing blocks. I mean, a lot of the time, I'll be honest with you, is a lot of the time when we've broken this down and we'll continue to do that, a lot of the time, it's always like one guy that's not finishing a block. And then that guy gets shed. The defender does a nice job throwing them, shedding them, and coming off and making a tackle. Or we're supposed to climb to the second level. We take a bad angle. We don't have great footwork. We don't communicate right. We don't climb to the right person, and then it ends up being a short gain. Or I've seen times where our running backs have a cutback, but they completely run by it. They outrun their blocks instead of cutting back, like the one in Oklahoma is really coming to mind. We saw like the same exact situation in the same. So the first time we played Oklahoma, I think it was Daniel Hill. Both times he had a lead blocker. The first time he had an open cutback and it would have been an explosive play. He didn't take it. He ran straight into a corner that was coming in run support. Second time around, he took the cutback. It was an explosive play. And those little details are what changes plays from 1, 2, 3, maybe 3 yard carries to explosive 10 plus yard carries. But we're not doing that. We're not putting it all together. So I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's so much schematic in terms of the issue with the running game. I think it's more of an execution piece, which, yes, most of that typically falls on the players. But it also is the job of the coaches to diagnose why are we not executing and we need to find ways to do it. It would be different if we weren't at the University of Alabama and we were at a different school and you just had to say, hey, we just don't have anybody that can get the job done. I just have a hard time believing that. I know we might not have
the best
offensive line. Yeah, I know we might not have the best offensive line. That's why, again, you got to be careful when sites like PFF and all these sites, again, no disrespect to them, but they're analytics guys. You know what I mean? I don't know how much experience or what their reputation or where it comes from, but they're numbers. If you watch the tape, that's why we said early on in the season before, it was no disrespect, but I never saw us having the number one offensive line in the country. I don't know how they came up with that. And that's why I just am careful with some of those numbers. But that being said, we still have good players. And that's why, for me, that falls on the coaches. Whether it's offensive line coach, run game coordinator, offensive coordinator, there's no way you're telling me the University of Alabama, with as much talent as the guys that we recruit and all the resources that we have, that on the last half of the season, we averaged like 40 yards in rushing. And I get we didn't run the ball a whole bunch. That was like 20 carries or less, and that plays a part. But even if you look at our yards per average, It's not anywhere near where it needs to be. And that's a problem to me. And it needs to change. If Alabama wants to return to form and have a chance, Coach DeBoer talks about that thin line. You can't be so one dimensional. That the days of just, yeah, no, it's not going to work, man.
Well, I guess I just don't understand every point that you made. Why is it that way? Like you said, we got good athletes. We got great facilities. We got all these areas that is first class. But the really simple things of execution is not happening, and the lack of effort. Those are things that, you know, should be inbred. Every one of those guys on the team probably been playing football since they were 6 years old, and they know what they need to do. They know how to do it, but for some reason, it's not translating into game day, and I just don't understand it.
Listen, this is going to sound a little cliche, but listen, hear me out, guys. When you hear former players, you know, that voice some frustrations, or they talk about things sometimes, and it seems like they're just... This is what I've tried to explain, and to Brandon's point, and I appreciate it. Maybe I just do a little bit better job of communicating or delivering it. But when guys, you know, were bringing up things like mouthpieces and stuff, that's why I tried to be the voice of reason and say, guys, they're not, the point is not the mouthpiece. It's not the color of the mouthpiece. It's the message behind it. It's the discipline.
Right.
Discipline doesn't just start when you get on the football field. It starts well before that. Discipline starts with how you wake up in the morning. Discipline starts with the decision to make your bed in the morning. Discipline starts with, you know, instead of leaving a dish here, I'm going to take the time and effort to wash it or do the thing I'm supposed to. The discipline starts with showing up on time. Discipline starts with wearing the right attire, having all the proper pads and hands behind the line and not on the line. It sounds cliche, and I'm not saying they're falling short in those areas. I can't speak on. I'm not around them all the time like that. However, when I watch Indiana, I would not be shocked if you went and studied them in terms of how they do every little detail. I guarantee you there's some type of correlation, because that's how it was for us. Were we perfect? Absolutely not. But that's why you hear a lot of former players speak like that, because that was the whole message behind it. It wasn't to just be annoying. Coach Saban didn't say those things to get on our nerves or to be a helicopter coach or to be tedious. It was because the true reason behind all the little details was so when we went out on the field and we played these games, we didn't have to worry about one guy not finishing a block, one guy just not being in his hole, not fitting it correctly, not doing his assignment. And so to me, I would continue to address that, because to me, Indiana set the tone with that. I mean, in terms of discipline and execution, that was one of the, I mean, that to me looked like Alabama when it was at its prime in terms of doing all those little things correctly, right, and weighing on your opponent. And I'm sorry, but they made us quit. By the second half, our defense, well, we looked like our whole team was kind of just throwing in the towel. So.
Oh, I agree, and that's what is really frustrating. I don't understand it. Granted, you know, little things are very, very important, because it's self-discipline. How are you going to discipline yourself? It's so important. Yep. And apparently, I don't, like I say, lack of effort, and I can somewhat understand a little bit of lack of execution, but the part that I don't understand about lack of execution, apparently we aren't doing it in practice. So if you practice it enough, like Coach Saban would say, you know, practice till you get it right. You practice till you can't get it wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Like and that. It just seems like we are, you know, dropping the ball somewhere, and I just know that you go to a lot of practices, and I'm wondering if you're seeing things being done the right way, or if you are seeing it done the right way, how come it's not carrying over to a game?
It's a great question, and we'll see if they can find an answer for it this offseason. George, I appreciate it, man. Great to hear from you. I appreciate you being patient, and it's been a while, but glad all is well, and I hope you have a great start to the new year.
You too, my friend. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You too. All right, good deal. We got to hit one last time. I would come back. We wrap things up on the radio side. But again, if you're on the stream, don't go anywhere. We're hanging out right here. We got plenty more to talk about, discuss, and to watch. We got some tape pulled up. We'll do that right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.